This is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton, Jr. speaking. We count on the privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Psalms 113, beginning at verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in the heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. Praise ye the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father, we lift up our hearts to Thee at this hour with praise and with thanksgiving that Thou art God, and beside Thee there is none other. Praise is wonderful. Praise is due unto Thee, to Thy name, for Thou art glorious in holiness. Fearful in praise is doing wonders among the sons of men. And how precious and gracious and merciful Thou art unto us. And we just give Thee glory from our very hearts this day, that Thou art our God, the lifter up of our head, the deliverer of our never-dying soul. Oh, bless Thy Word as it goes forth this day. Search out our hearts, and lead us in a way that is pleasing unto Thee, that we might give Thee glory and honor and praise. For it is in Christ's name that we ask. Amen.
Through many dangers.
Say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. My dear friends, we're happy that God has given us the grace to be able to come back into your home or your place of business or ride along there in your car with you today, trusting that God will send His Word home to our hearts. Did you write for your free book that we are offering this month entitled The Still Hour, Our Communion with God by Dr. Austin Phelps? One of the greatest little books I've ever read upon the subject, as he goes into 14 chapters, 91 pages, dealing with the subject of prayer. I want to put this in your hands so that you may be able to read it there in the quietness of your own home. And I trust that when you get it, and God will deal with your heart as you read it, as He did with mine. We want you to have a copy. Ask for it by name. It's free and postpaid. The Still Hour. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. My dear friends, for the past weeks, I have been studying with you from God's Word what the Scriptures teach concerning decision for Christ. I have been showing you both the positive and negative sides of this truth, trusting the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts to reveal the truth of God's Word unto us. I would like to continue on this subject today with another message on the warnings from God's Word to those who have made a profession of or a decision for Christ. And my dear friend, that this is a part of the work of the Christian ministry is everywhere stated in the Scriptures, and that is to warn those who have made a profession or decision to be sure that they have not stopped short of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they have come on to Him. You see, our Lord set the example for His messengers to follow by setting before His hearers certain tests in the four Gospels so that each of His followers would know where he stood in relationship to the Son of God whom he has professed to follow. And certainly when we turn to the epistles and read the inspired writings of the brethren Paul and Peter and James and John and Jude, we see them following the example of their Lord and rightly dividing the word of truth by setting before their hearers the marks of the true and the false professor. So the Holy Spirit has laid upon my heart to go through the New Testament in this message today and the ones to follow, showing you from the Word of God the many times that our Lord and His disciples sought to impress upon our hearts and minds the necessity of testing our Christian profession by the eternal Word of God. And we desire that you would listen. With your Bible in hand, let us go to the Scriptures today, asking the Holy Spirit to search our hearts to see if we are really and truly in Christ, or if we have been deceived by Satan into believing that a mental assent to the truth is enough for salvation. Let us turn together and read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. We are warned here by our Lord that only those who enter the straight gate and walk in the narrow way will enter into life eternal, and only a few find this way and walk in it. Our Lord warns us here to find out where we are walking, in what pathway we are walking. For he says, few there be that walk in that narrow way that leadeth unto everlasting life in heaven with the Lord of glory. I ask a question. Why is it that there are scarcely any left among us today who really believe that only the few will reach heaven? Why do scarcely any today who make a profession examine themselves by this searching word? There can only be one answer, my friend. It is because it is now generally held and believed that heaven can be obtained on much easier terms than those prescribed by Christ. You see, this wicked and adulterous generation in which we are living are quite certain that heaven can be reached without walking in the only way which leads there, and that is, in a way, the pathway of righteousness and true holiness. The majority believe that the kingdom of God can be entered without passing through much tribulation, as we are taught in Acts 14:22. The majority believe that we may be disciples of Christ without denying self, taking up our cross and following the Lord Jesus Christ daily, as we are told in Matthew 16:24. The vast majority believe that if their right eye offends them, they do not believe that if their right eye offends them, it must be plucked out, and if their right hand offends them, it must be cut off. That is, that every cherished sin, though it be as precious as a right hand or a right eye, must be crucified, according to Matthew 5:29 and 30. The vast majority believe today that if they live after the flesh, they shall not surely die. But that's not what Romans 8:13 says. It says that if we live after the flesh, we shall surely die, and that only if through the Spirit we mortify the deeds of the body, that we shall live. But the vast majority do not believe this today. You see, the vast majority of professing Christians are persuaded, and they're fully persuaded in their own hearts and mind, that a man can serve two masters and succeed in making the best of two worlds. But our Lord does not say this in Matthew 6. Our Lord warns us of walking and believing this. And so he puts before us this verse of Scripture, that we're entering at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that finds it. This is what our Lord is warning us of, and is what I'm trying to warn you of today out of this Scripture. But I wonder if you believe that the gate is straight and the way is narrow, as our Lord Jesus Christ has declared it to be. Oh, my dear friend, be not deceived. God's Word declares that we must enter the straight gate and walk in the narrow way, and that is a way of holiness, and few there be that find it. Will you listen? I want you to notice that it is a narrow way at the beginning, not later on down the road somewhere after you have had your fling. No, it is a narrow way, a straight gate at the beginning. It is like a turnstile. It admits one person at a time. You don't go in with the crowd, for you stand alone before God, and that as a guilty lost sinner. You stand alone before God, taking the blame for your sinful condition before God. And I ask you, have you ever stood there? Have you ever stood before God guilty Have you ever stood before God taking the blame for your condition? Have you? This is a personal thing. You can only go in alone. So my friend, you see that the gate itself, the very way of entering into this life with Christ, is a narrow one. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ openly and uncompromisingly announces itself as being something which starts with a narrow entrance, a straight gate. Then, my dear friend, because it is a narrow way, there are some things which must be left outside, which must be left behind. There is no room for them. We must come through this gate alone. Let's look at them, will you? I would understand from the study of God's Word that we must leave behind when we walk through this straight gate, this narrow gate, and enter into this narrow way, we must leave behind our worldliness. Yes, we must leave the crowd behind, for they are on the other road, the broad road that leads to destruction. You see, the Word teaches that we must make a break with the crowd, with the world, with the vast majority of the people that crowds that Broadway. We must, by the grace of God, leave that Broadway and leave the crowd and walk in this way alone. It is inevitable, and it's important that we know this, that the Christian life, the Christian way of life, is not popular. Therefore, you deliberately, to follow Christ, get out of the crowd, and start making your way toward this straight and narrow gate, and you must go alone. You cannot take the crowd with you, for it is a narrow way, and you enter into Christ and in this way alone with God. And that brings us to the fact that as we study God's Word, we find that it involves walking alone. You see, I myself am a living soul. I am responsible for my own life. Therefore, I must get in at the straight gate if nobody else goes in. I must walk in the narrow way if nobody else walks in it. And if I don't, I'm going to hell. You see, nobody else is responsible for me. I am responsible before God. I must go in alone at all costs. I must walk in this narrow way, for the other way leads to hell. And my friend, you're responsible. God holds you responsible to enter in alone at the straight gate, no matter what father, a mother, or sister, or brother, or wife, or husband, or children may do. You've got to walk in this way. And if it costs you your religion, your church, your friends, you must walk alone into this gate. And it also involves leaving your own self outside. Now this really makes it narrow, doesn't it? For I am to put off the old man, and I am to put on the new. And I am to leave the old man outside, for self has no place in this kingdom. Yes, my friend, it is a life of self-abasement, self-humiliation. For our Lord Himself said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And in coming to Christ, that is the thing that we must do. We must deny self, take up His cross, and follow Him. And I want you to get this truth. Self-denial does not mean refraining from various pleasures and things that we may like. It means far more than that. It means we deny the very right to ourselves. For when we leave the Broadway, we're leaving the course of this world. And we are denouncing Satan as our head. And we are saying that Christ is our head. And we are yielding the whole man up to the whole Christ. And we are saying, like the Apostle Paul, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. As we walk through this straight gate into the narrow way, it means that we deny the very right to ourselves. We're changing masters, and Christ is becoming both Lord and Master of my life. My friend, have you ever entered at the straight gate this way? Are you walking in the narrow way? Remember, if you have missed the starting place, the narrow gate, you've missed it all, and then you're on the broad road toward hell. Oh, how sad it is to see precious souls who suddenly get disturbed about their soul's salvation try to get on that road. They think they need to rededicate their lives or to be baptized or to get into some Bible study. They think if they could just change preachers or get under this man's preaching, that all would be well. They get all excited and began to get religious. All they're trying to do is to get on the narrow road by jumping over this gate or getting over the wall or the fence. And our Lord said in John 10 that if any man gets on this road any other way, he's a thief and a robber. He must go in at the gate. But my friend, you cannot get in any other way. You see, when God awakens you, you've got to go back to the beginning, to the starting place. You've got to take your place as a lost sinner before God. If you miss the starting place, which is the narrow gate, which is Christ Himself, you've missed it all. You're on the broad road toward hell. Oh, I would today that men would understand that they must go in at the gate. And this is where you start. How many people, when they get all excited about their souls, they try to get on this road. Oh, if I could just get baptized, if I could just rededicate my life, if I could start all over. Yes, that's it, to start all over, but you've got to go back to the beginning to take yourself as a lost sinner before God. Now, I know you'll want to ask a question right here. Pastor, why is it that only a few find this straight gate and enter into this narrow way? Well, it ought to be obvious by now that you've got to go it alone. You've got to leave the world behind, and you've got to leave yourself on the outside, and few there be that want to do this. You see, the other way is so broad, and Satan is so tempting, and the way of religion is so easy that, well, let's go this way. The other way is so hard. Why, to leave myself outside? Why, this man must be crazy. I don't know of anything like that, huh? But the Bible said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And this is the reason few there be that find it. Let me give you another answer. There are very few who are willing to bow to the authority of God's Word concerning themselves. And therefore, they have no desire to enter into the straight gate. And you say, Pastor, you've raised another question. What do you mean by bowing to the authority of God's Word concerning myself? Let me answer. God's Word describes you and me as being depraved sinners, lost sinners. Sinners ruined and sinners living in rebellion against God. You see, the Word of God pictures us as being ungodly unbelievers. One who has ruled God out of our life and does not desire Him to rule over us. That's what God's Word says about you and I. Also, we do not want to bow to the authority of God's Word that we are lost. Well, you see, Christ came to seek and save only that which were lost. And only lost sinners can enter into the straight gate. They are the only ones who will ask, well, where is that straight gate and where is that narrow way? Oh, that I knew where I might find it. A man will never ask for that way until he has been awakened by the Spirit of God that he's lost. It's not until a man really understands that he doesn't know that way he's lost will he ever cry unto God to lead him to that straight gate and lead him to that way that leads to heaven. And then, my friend, we've got to bow to the authority of God's Word that we've got to bring forth fruit suitable for repentance. You see, repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ go hand in hand and cannot be separated. And God demands repentance and faith. And if we do not repent, we cannot believe with true saving faith, for they go together. You see, God's Word declares that we are to repent or perish. We are to bring forth fruit suitable for repentance, so we cannot enter into the straight gate. This is a must, a necessity, that cannot be bypassed And so this is the reason there few there be that find that men do not want to admit to God that they are wrong. When have you ever admitted to God that you are wrong? When have you ever taken the blame before God and have come to God crying in the depths of your soul, I am to blame for my condition. I have sinned against God. When was your mind ever changed about sin? For you see, the Greek word for repentance is metanoia, which means to perceive afterwards, to change one's mind. And when was your mind ever changed about sin? This is the reason few people find it, is because they do not desire to have their attitudes changed about sin. I wonder if I could picture how God deals with our hearts. There you are, going on the broad way to hell, not mindful of God, His holiness, His glory, nor your duty toward God to love Him, to serve Him, and to adore Him as your holy and righteous Creator with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. You love sin and the wages of righteousness. You might be religious, even thinking that you're saved, but now the Holy Spirit, in His quickening power, begins to open your heart and to show you that you're lost and that you've sinned against God. He shows you your evil heart, and it pours out nothing but sin toward God. You see that all of this is against a holy and a righteous God whom you hate and in whose hand you've been all the while. Now you see yourself to be a rebel, a child of disobedience, and at a far distance from a holy God. And then you begin to change your mind about yourself, your self-pleasing, your self-indulgence, your self-desires, and you begin to hate yourself for allowing all of this evil to proceed from your wicked heart. Then you begin to see the holy God of the Bible and what sin did to His throne and what your rebellion has made Him your very enemy. And then you began to change your mind about God. You began to be turned toward Him. You entered into the straight gate. Did you know that? You're bowing to the authority of God's Word. And you're not like Judas, who threw the 30 pieces of silver down and said, I have sinned against innocent blood, and went out and hung himself. Oh, no. True saving repentance, if it's not mixed with true saving faith does no man any good. But as you're going through this gate, it's repentance with hatred for sin and self. And you've changed your attitude about God and you're beginning to love Him and His holiness. It is because you're now believing and hearing and knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is this straight gate. And you've come to Him by faith. And you've found in Him the satisfaction of your soul and understanding that God in Christ has reconciled you unto Himself. That you can enter into this straight gate in this narrow way who is Christ. For He died in your way, in your place, and poured out His precious blood for the remission of your sins. And you find that Christ is that narrow gate. He is the door. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. And now you're down on your knees before Him, prostrate. As you enter that gate, you're coming into Christ and you're saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And your heart goes by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're resting alone only in Him. My friend, this is what it means to enter in to this narrow way and this straight gate. Would you like a copy of this message? Write us and we'll be happy to mail it to you free and postpaid. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.